Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We have in the studio with us Alexandra Enyet, who is a conductor from the US, based in Chicago, is that right? You're here to do a show called As One, which is at 45 Downstairs. But before we start talking about the show, Alexandra, let's find out a bit about yourself and how you got started in the arts, and where did your love for music and the arts come from?
Now, we should start off is that Alexandra actually just got off a plane a couple of hours ago. Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, wow. So thank you so much for coming in. Yes. So if you start slurring, we know it's jet lag.
And not the drinks yet on the plane.
Yeah, the first thing I did. So my very first time in Australia. So thank you so much for having me here right away.
Pleasure. And yeah, like very excited to have you on. Can't wait to hear your story.
So I grew up in the musical theater pit. My dad was a drummer. My mom played the oboe and the English horn. And so I was always in these different musicals growing up, you know, just as a kid being around. And my parents didn't love that one of my first heroes was a gang member through West Side Story. Not their favorite thing that they could, you know, that could happen. But it was something that I was always surrounded by music. And as I was getting older, you know, everyone was expected to be playing something. So I started playing clarinet because I wanted to be different than everyone else and play my own instrument.
Yeah. Because you can't possibly do what your parents do.
Exactly. That's right. It's the most important thing is to not do the same thing that they do. So I decided to play clarinet. And then when I was around 9, my parents divorced. And that was a really hard time. And my mom left and moved off to Nebraska, so about 1,000 miles away, which, because she was more classical oriented and my dad was a drummer, I kind of rebelled against classical music for a little while.
Okay.
But at the same time, it was really hard because I was hitting puberty, which was a really challenging time for me, as someone who's transgender, and suddenly my body is changing, but in a direction that is opposite of what it should be. I didn't necessarily have the words for what that was at the time, but everything started to feel wrong all at once. And it wasn't until I heard Shostakovich's Festive Overture that I fell back in love with classical music.
Awesome.
And it wasn't until much later that I figured out that I was trans. So the combination, there was this really foggy time in the middle where I was trying to figure things out. So I went to college to be a clarinet performance major. While I was doing clarinet performance, I started conducting. I just loved conducting. I would go.
Why is that? Because you like to take control. You're the person that, you know, has to boss everyone around.
So that's my go-to joke. My go-to joke is that the funny thing about every conductor is that at some point you have to start by saying, I don't know what I'm doing, but I should be in charge of this. So that's, I mean, there's no other way to get going besides doing that, but it's a really interesting thing to take the first steps in training as a conductor and to be like, well, here I go. What's it going to be like?
Yeah. It must be hard because understanding all the different parts of an orchestra, that's a bit of a feat in itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so there's so much that you have to do to train and get ready for it, which is why what I always heard from my teacher was that you can't be a maestro until you're at least 65. Anyway,
right.
So which helps, you know, the thing is that there's just life experience.
Wow,
that, you need.
That makeup really worked. 65-year-old
yes,
sitting
that's
opposite.
Right. But so there's a lot of work that goes into it, and a lot of it is behind the scene, but then everything that you do, that you're learning to do with your hands, and every time you're learning to make an impact, you have to do it in front of a ton of people. And you only look stupid for a long time, like 5 years, 5+ years. Even still sometimes you'll do something and you're like, what was that? And everyone's like, I have no idea. And it's just one of those things where that's where if you have an ego or if you have really one of these controlling personalities, it doesn't really work anymore. And I find that, you know, this image of the conductor as the dictator and the authoritarian is going away. The way that I've seen people approach it and the way that I approach it is very collaborative.
Okay.
You can't possibly know more about a person's part than they know.
Mm.
I can't tell a violinist more about a violin than they know about the violin. And I'm not going to tell a singer that I know how to sing better than they do. That would take all of 1 second to prove me wrong.
Mm.
But what I can do is I can be a reliable and honest feedback for them so that they can get response into what's happening.
Yep.
And the other thing that I can do is I can know the specific piece as a whole the best. So while I maybe, you know, maybe I don't know the violin part of Beethoven 6 the best, if I'm conducting it, hopefully I know the score as a whole and the shape and the phrasing and what we're going to be doing the best. And at least having the interpretation that is happening be clear and be very decided so that every note has an idea and every moment has a thought behind it. And then it's about sharing. And if someone does something that is not what you expect, but it's beautiful, why would you take that away?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about opera also is that, you know, there are so many times where they sing just beautifully. And the best thing you can do is leave them alone.
Yep, absolutely. Now, tell us about this piece that you've come here to Melbourne for. What's it called?
It's called As-One.
Yeah. And who wrote it and what's it about?
Of course, so it's a trio. It's the music's composed by Laura Kaminsky, and then there is Mark Campbell and Kimberly Reed. And so the story is the story of a transgender protagonist named Hannah. It is an episodic monodrama with two people.
Okay, explain that.
So it is a series of episodes in her life growing up,
yep,
bit by bit. And it's a monodrama in that it's one person telling the whole story through two singers. And so it's this really interesting piece as we see Hannah before and Hannah after, played by a baritone and a mezzo. And they share and come together. And it's this really interesting thing because there could be the problem of, you know, it's two cis singers portraying a trans character. But because of the way that it's put together, there's also the string quartet, which plays a huge role to become, especially the viola, to play in Hannah Always, which really balances the shape out. So that in a way, you never actually see Hannah, the main character, on stage, I would argue, except for one beat at the very, very, very end, where there's just 1 second where she shows up. But beyond that, it's this really beautiful, compelling story that is this really human journey that somehow captures what we all go through and what we all feel in our head and in our heart and what it means to transition. Because sometimes we think about transgender transitioning as something different than transitioning for anyone else. But it's the same as if you transition from a job. You know, we have this, it's like it's become a new verb, but it really just is change.
Yep. So why have they brought you out to conduct? Why couldn't we use, somebody here? You know, like, are you so important and so integral to this opera that they couldn't have done it without you? Obviously, well, that's it.
That's it. Well, I don't think that I'm, obviously, I don't think that I'm the most important person that could be doing this opera, but, I am, as far as I'm aware, I'm the only transgender opera conductor, I think, ever. And so that does give me an authority on the piece in some ways that I feel can't come from other people. So while there are definitely other productions that are beautiful and very moving, and it's been done all over the place, and I would never say that I'm the only person who can do the best production or anything like that. I am very proud of the productions I've done so far,
yep,
and I'm very excited to get to work on this one, and I think I can offer a lot to bring to the piece.
Excellent. And how did it come to you in the first place? You know, tell us that little journey.
So it was really interesting because I had just come out. I had come out, I was graduating with my master's degree from the University of Louisville in Kentucky, and I was getting my master's in orchestral conducting. And that February, I guess 2017, I had known for a while, I had been taking hormones for a while and been doing all these things, and I was ready to come out. So I came out, and I finished up my degree, and I said, you know, what's next? I'm worried that everything might be over, and I was like, one day I'd love to tell, you know, a transgender story.
Yeah.
I figured it would be something that I'd get to when I was like 60 or 70. It was the second thing I did after graduating. I mean, I moved to Chicago and did... I started working as music director for Thompson Street Opera Company, where I'm still working. And then I was asked to guest conduct with Chicago Fringe Opera, and they were doing this piece called As One. And so it was an immediate, like, graduated, here's this piece, And it was, I mean, it was like 6 months after I came out that I did it the first time. It actually made parts of it hard because each day I was reliving the journey over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And each performance and each rehearsal, depending on how much we would run, you know, I would live different pieces of it.
And, you know, like, how many people in the orchestra that is here in Melbourne for this show?
So the ensemble is four.
Four.
So it's a string quartet.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's wonderful in its chamber setting because it's a grand total of 7 people on stage, 4 in the string quartet, the 2 singers, and myself, which creates a really intimate and beautiful sharing. And the way that Laura has turned the string quartet and made so much happen with them, I find to be... It's really brilliantly done. So it doesn't feel like it's trying to be orchestral. It feels like good string quartet writing.
Right. And are you, you know, like part of the, you know, like the set? You're on stage?
Well, I have been in the past. I'm not sure what the production is going to be like in this one.
Yeah.
I've been in the pit before, and I've been on stage before, and it really depends. I've done it behind the singers with a camera where I couldn't, you know, it was totally backwards to them, so they were looking at monitors. That was a really crazy experience, but it gets done that way a lot also. So it's really interesting because it's small. It gets pushed to do lots of things that you may not see with other larger productions. And I think that's really exciting and pushes people.
And you obviously wouldn't have seen the space yet because you've only just arrived in the country.
Well, I've seen images of it online, but I've not been there.
Yeah, 45 Downstairs. Mm-hmm. You're like a very, very famous space here in Melbourne because it's just a blank canvas whatever production goes in creates what they want to create, which is, so, you know, it'll be interesting for you to see how it's going to unfold.
Well, I love doing the show because it's been different each time. And, you know, because it's such a, I find conducting to be such a position of serving, it's always exciting to see what the singers and what the director are coming at and what they're thinking of Hannah and who they are this time, because she has been different each time that I've done the show and each time I've seen it, where you know, maybe she's more comedic and she's funnier, or she's got more depression or more anger, and there are these different little takes on her, or she ends up older or younger, or the way that she has brevity or anything like that. It's really interesting to see each of the different aspects of how she ends up from potentially, you know, very, even in her, you know, her sexuality, where she can be very straight or very queer aligned. It's very interesting to see what people do, and I'm always love taking the journey. Mm.
So is that how you start the process? I mean, you talk to the director, the singers to work out which aspects you're going to bring to the performance. And
so we'll start just by singing it, and then a lot of times these things come up and out during rehearsal, because what I've experienced in the past is that you can have a lot of conversation about things and which way it's going to be and this is what's going to happen this time, but people change as the process is happening and they grow into different feelings, and by the time you get there it might be a little different than what they had expected. I'm sure that there will be time to sit and talk. And one of the things I love about this piece, also there are so many things I love about this piece, but I love working on it because it's about conversation and about openness on an issue that really, really matters.
Can't wait to see it. Sounds amazing. And it's part of the Midsummer Festival as well, which is excellent. And Neil, where's it playing?
It's on at 45 Downstairs, and it's on from the 22nd of January to the 25th, and then also from the 28th to the 1st of February. So, so you could just go to 45 Downstairs on the website and get tickets from there.
Or Midsummer.
Midsummer. Exactly, the usual booking
places. And what's it called again?
As one,
a lovely title as well.
And thanks so much for coming on the show, Alexandra, especially coming straight off the plane.
Thank you so much for having me.
So. We've been talking to Alexandra Enyart, a conductor from the US, about As One here on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.